It's hard to fathom right now, but some good will eventually come out of the Japanese earthquake and tsunami. Japan has the best seismic monitoring network in the world, and because of that, last week's disaster will offer a lot of lessons for other earthquake-prone areas around the globe, like Alaska. APRN's Annie Feit reports.
About 20 minutes after the 9.0 earthquake hit Japan, large seismic waves began rolling across Alaska.
The ground everywhere around us, every building, every person, moved up and down about a half an inch.
That's Mike West, a seismologist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The half inch of movement was for the interior, south central, and southeast Alaska. In the western Aleutians, the seismic wave was much larger, moving the earth an inch and a half. Those are impressive numbers.
And you might ask, well, why don't we recognize that? Why did no one feel this? And that's because it happens very slowly over the course of 30 seconds or a minute. But several times we went up and down riding the seismic waves.
Wes says that movement didn't have any lasting impact on Alaska and didn't increase the earthquake risk here. The Japanese earthquake was the same kind as the 1964 Good Friday earthquake in south central Alaska. They're called megathrust earthquakes and occur where one tectonic plate is forced under another. Peter Heusler is head of the Earthquakes Hazards Project with the United States Geological Survey in Anchorage. He says Japan has invested heavily in technology to understand and document these earthquakes.
There's no doubt that we're going to learn a ton from this earthquake.
And that's going to allow for an unprecedented level of new research opportunities.
I mean, I've already seen plots of data that, you know, one day after the earthquake, we probably know more about the Japanese earthquake than we did after a decade after the 1964 earthquake, for example.
Heusler says scientists will scrutinize the details of how the earthquake ruptured to improve building safety. He also expects the disaster to shed light on how tsunamis are generated. And he says because the Japanese put a lot of effort into emergency response, there will be a lot of lessons there as well.
I think no doubt in the long run, despite the tragedy in Japan, I think this earthquake will end up making Alaska a safer place.
And just how prepared is Alaska for a similar event? Heusler says there are a number of factors to consider, but he says a lot of earthquake safety boils down to one thing.
It's often said that earthquakes don't kill people, buildings do. And so it's incredibly important to have good building codes that are well implemented.
Heusler says Anchorage does have good building codes, but many smaller communities in the state do not. He says South Central Alaska isn't due for another 9-magnitude earthquake, but he says some signs do point to the potential for an 8-magnitude quake. Heusler says it's impossible to say if that would happen this year or 100 years from now. Being able to give a detailed earthquake forecast is considered the holy grail of earthquake science.
Thus far, people have looked very, very hard for, you know, these telltale signs that the big one is coming, and they haven't been able to nail it down.
Heusler says researchers will be combing through the Japanese earthquake data for new clues. But whether or not earthquake forecasts ever become a reality, he says the main lesson from the Japanese disaster is that Alaskans need to be prepared. UAF's Mike West agrees. He says it's humbling to see the devastation in Japan.
Japan has a level of monitoring, a level of public education, a level of infrastructure robustness that is hard to match anywhere else. They set a very, very high bar and still suffer considerable damages from an event like this.
And Alaska's history with big earthquakes makes the case for preparation even stronger. Wes says three of the largest earthquakes since 1900 have occurred in Alaska. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.